This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. This story was something else. Woman missing for 6 months, found living in a tent in Utah, eating moss and grass. A woman who went missing nearly 6 months ago was found living in a tent in a national forest in Utah, subsisting on a diet including grass and moss. They found her after a drone that was searching for her crashed near her. The 47-year-old woman was discovered this past Sunday in a remote campground of a national forest in Utah. According to a statement from a Utah County Sheriff's Office out there, quote, "This woman had lost a significant amount of weight and was weak, but she was apparently also resourceful. They believe the woman voluntarily chose to move to Diamond Fork Canyon, and she'd been surviving on a small amount of food she brought with her, as well as grass and moss. She also had access to water from a nearby river." Again, she disappeared almost 6 months ago, and now authorities believe mental illness has something to do with this. You know, before a few years ago, we were just used to say, oh, she must be crazy. She must be nuts. And she just must have grabbed a tent, some peanut butter, some food, and left her house. And
what if she's completely sane and she just wanted to get away? That's what it sounds like to me. It seems like she was just fed up. She couldn't take it anymore. She just said, screw society, screw public life. I just want to go somewhere where nobody can bother me. I'll survive. I'll bring a tent out. And I think she wanted to be left alone.
Could be, Coleman. You could be right. The sheriff's department out there in Utah first began searching for the woman in November of 2020 after the United States Forest Service officials found her car abandoned at the campground. And then I guess that's when they sent the drone in, and the drone was flying around, and the drone crash near her tent.
You never fantasized about that, John? Just getting away, letting it all go, especially with the problems that, you know, we've recently had with technology and how it fails. You don't ever just fantasize just going somewhere, recluse from society, recluse from all the technology, just making your own way peacefully, be one with nature.
Well, I hope you don't do that, Coleman, because you do a great job on the show, and I think you do a fantastic job.
I was asking you if you felt like...
No. Oh. I was going to say, behind the scenes, you do a great job. Like, the other morning, when we had all kinds of technical difficulties after that storm we had, You know, you were, me personally. Plus, if I want to live in a tent, Coleman, I don't have that far to go. Right in my neighborhood, right near my place in the warehouse district. If you go underneath the highway, the interstate bridge, there's all kinds of tents, people living in there.
Yeah, I'm just, I don't think she was mentally, whatever they said, whatever they called it, mentally to say. I think she just wanted to get away. I think she just had it. She was just fed up. She said, screw it. She drove to the park and just decided to, you know.
So, you know, there's a difference between someone who was in complete control of their mental capabilities, who decides, like you just said, I've had it. I'm going to go live in a tent out in the forest in Utah. And then there's someone else that may not be completely in control or have full use of all of their mental capacities and ends up living in a tent.
Either or, if they're not bothering anybody and they seem to be getting along just with, like they said, she had access to water, she had shelter. She was eating grass and moss.
She lost a bunch of weight. Dude, she's eating moss and grass.
Yeah, but if she chooses to, it's kind of like people that go fasting for a month because of their religious beliefs, or people that decide to go vegan. You know, you have a choice what kind of diet. She was trying to upgrade a paleo diet. And yeah, she may have lost a lot of weight, but how big was she before? Is she unhealthy? Or even if she is unhealthy, if it's her choice to do so. Like Mahatma Gandhi went on like a fast and all of his rib cage was showing, but nobody, you know, got mad at him for it. He was doing it on purpose.
But he was Gandhi.
Yeah, but this woman could have been the next Gandhi if they hadn't spoiled her recluse and her meditation or whatever she was doing out there in the woods.
Well, no, since the authorities, again, they found her on Sunday after she had been missing for almost 6 months. Deputies took her to a nearby hospital for a mental health evaluation.
I know she was furious to get back around people. After all that hard work to stand away, they come spoil her whole retreat.
I know in the story I'm reading, it says deputies took the hermit to a nearby hospital for a mental health evaluation, but said it was possible she would choose to return to the forest.
If she chooses to return to the forest, I say let her have it. She's not bothering anybody. She's not harming anybody. I'm quite sure she's saving a lot on her utility bills. This text says, never underestimate the power of a little bit of grass.
Well, smoke weed every day. Is she eating grass? She's not smoking it or ingesting it. And remember, you know, marijuana is becoming legal in many, many states. Oh, and coming up on the show, speaking of that, last night I did a live show. I was on the panel of a show called Politics with a Punch, and I was on the panel with Jefferson Parish Sheriff Joseph LaPinto, also the woman who ran against and lost to Lataxa Cantrell for mayor. Former Judge Desiree Charbonnet was sitting right there on stage next to me as well, and a few others. I've got a few stories from last night. I asked Sheriff LaPinto if he was going to frisk me on my way out because we were talking about legalized marijuana. That was one of the things one of the issues we were talking about last night. But the authority, and that's coming up later in the show. The authority said, quote, we want to be clear, talking about this woman from Utah finishing this. We want to be clear that while many people might choose to not live in the circumstances and conditions this woman did, she did nothing against the law. That's what authorities said out there. And they checked her out. They might beef her up a little bit. And then she may end up going back to living in the tent and living off of moss and grass, eating grass.
So tag and release, right?
It could be the case here with this woman, Coleman.
So I guess she's not paying her car notes anymore. So it makes me wonder if the repo man is coming to get her car, or does she own the car and she can just use it as an extension of her tent, extension of her home. Like, what's going to happen with her car now?
It looks like a nice ride, and the United States Forest Service officials found her car abandoned at the campground. She hadn't used it in a long time, and she's living in a tent.
All right, well, she could probably sell her car, get rid of it or something like that. She doesn't need it.
Yeah, I mean, again, I've thought about it, Coleman. You asked me if I just wanted to disappear into a tent in the woods, but no, I would. I like watching ball games too much. You know, I like eating the food I like to eat too much. And
yeah, I thought about it, but never in a tent in the woods. I thought about just disappearing, but just be inside of my house. Well, I used to live in this old.
You do that anyways. Yeah. I mean, I do that.
Funny story. Before I moved into the house I am now, my previous house had a garage so I can hide my car in it and nobody knew that I was home. That was so perfect. Right now, the house I'm at, everybody can see that I'm parked outside. They can come bother me. But my old house, we had a garage and people would knock on my door and ring the doorbell and I'd pretend like I wasn't there because they couldn't verify whether I was there or not because the car would be hidden in the garage. Oh, those are some good times.
Coming up next on the show, the president of the United States was in town, was in New Orleans yesterday. And out of all the places, he went over to the Carrollton Sewerage and Water Board plant. That place, the pipes, it's older than him. We'll tell you about what happened over there. We have a lot to do on the show this morning. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us 3 times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. New Orleans morning radio show.
How did you do that? You were just singing high-pitched sopranos with the Guns and Roses. Then as soon as the mic come on, you go back to this voice. Like, you were just in here, well, you were singing all the high-pitched.
Coleman, I'm a big Guns N' Roses fan, and I really enjoy when Axl Rose, live and let die. And then when the song kicks in, he goes,
But that transition from that high-pitched to, whoa, welcome back to the show, is amazing to me. Your throat don't hurt or anything?
Nah. Morning. Yesterday, the President of the United States of America was in our city, was in New Orleans for a little while. He came. Air Force One landed at Armstrong International Airport. And as Joe Biden was driving into the city from the airport, did you see the picture on the internet, Coleman, that was going around social media? Someone painted on one of the overpasses, the highway overpasses, someone painted in big letters, Dems stole it.
I did see that.
I don't know if the president saw that or not. But when he came to New Orleans, you know, he didn't come like most people. Most people come to New Orleans. They enjoy the French Quarter. They party. They go to one of the great world-class restaurants that we have here in the city, maybe take in some live music. The president didn't do that. He was in town because he's giving out billions of dollars for infrastructure. And the city of New Orleans was like, please, can we have some of that money? And so he showed up over at the Sewerage and Water Board's, the New Orleans Sewerage and Water Board's Carrollton Water Plant, which is falling apart. And it has been. And that's where the city wants some of that money to go. So the president, Joe Biden, was standing there having a one-on-one conversation with the executive director of the New Orleans Sewerage and Water Board. His name is Ghassan Corbin. He's got a tough job. He hasn't been in that job that long. But he basically said to Joe Biden yesterday, he said, all of this equipment and this infrastructure, it's all so old. It could die at any time. It could go at any time. And President Biden said, well, so could I. But here's what's frustrating about this situation. Even before Hurricane Katrina, tens of millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars has been sent to New Orleans to help rebuild the New Orleans Sewerage and Water Board's system. And after Hurricane Katrina, again, we're talking hundreds of millions of dollars has been sent here by the federal government. And the question is, what in God's name was done with that money? Because the Sewerage and Water Board is still a disaster. Many of the pipes, the equipment, the facility, over 100 years old. So again, we've received hundreds of millions of dollars in the past 20 years from the federal government. And nothing has been done. That money has been either completely misspent, wasted, or stolen. And I think it's all of the above. And it's wild when the head of the Sewerage and Water Board says to the President of the United States, this could all go, it could all die, it could all end anytime, at any minute. So as someone who has lived in the city of New Orleans now for over 13 years, I'm thinking to myself, you know, after I saw that, I went and I jumped in the shower. I said, I'm going to enjoy this shower because this water system that we know, it all could come to an end any second, any minute.
Do you think he said that because it actually is, or do you think he just said that to Biden to get some of that money? Was it a sales pitch, or do you really believe that our water system can just go kaput any moment, any time within the near future?
No, I believe it. I believe anything in this city.
All right, cool. Well, check that out. Now that he says that, let's say Biden gives him the money for the infrastructure to rebuild the pipes and rebuild the Sewerage and Water Board. After having all these hundreds of millions of dollars that were misspent, what will make it different this time around?
I don't know. I wish I had that answer. You're going to have people, honest people.
That was a good one.
You're going to have honest people standing over the shoulders of the Sewerage and Water Board as they spend this money to try to fix this antiquated system that we have here.
Okay, well, good luck finding honest people when there's money at stake with anything.
Our tax cheat of a mayor who owes the federal government over $100,000 in unpaid income taxes over the last decade, Lataxa Cantrell, she met with President Joe Biden yesterday, along with the Sewerage and Water Board executive director. But it makes you wonder where hundreds of millions of dollars have gone. You know, Channel 4 here in this city, one of our local television stations here, Channel 4, they've done over the past year or so, maybe even longer than that, an ongoing series called Down the Drain. And it's been something to watch. They've done a fantastic job saying how messed up the sewage and water board system is here in New Orleans and the money that they've gotten. And they have no idea where most of that money has gone. And this is Channel 4. And they put investigative reporters on it. They have no idea where. Again, we're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars in the last 20 years. And then especially after Hurricane Katrina, the federal government has sent here. We have nothing to show for it.
This text says, that's why Nagin and other local politicians have gone to jail, paying astronomical salaries to people who didn't do anything.
Well, Nagin specifically, our former mayor, Ray Nagin, went to jail because he bribed contractors or he took bribes from contractors to give them contracts to build things in the city. I mean, the Home Depot over there on the edge of Central City, that Home Depot, he got money for that. And when his trial was happening, the prosecution, while he was on the witness stand, that was interesting about Ray Nagin's trial. He actually took the witness stand. You know, usually when people are facing a lot of time in jail for doing crimes, they don't take the witness stand. Because they're guilty, because they know a good prosecutor will be able to corner them. But Nagin thought he was smarter than the prosecutors. Nagin thought he could get one or two jurors in that jury box to believe him. But when he was on the witness stand, Coleman, the prosecutor, said, so you're telling us you never had any communication with any of the higher-ups over at the Home Depot? And he said, no, I never communicated with them. And then the prosecutor said, Exhibit A. And they flashed on a board right behind him an email he sent with his name on it, his letterhead, the mayor of New Orleans, to one of the heads of Home Depot. That was just one of the things. That's why Nagin went to
a chocolate New Orleans.
Went to prison.
This text says the money never made it to the water board. They went to everyone's pockets.
Yeah, somebody. That's why that story that Channel 4 here in New Orleans, the television station, has been doing called Down the Drain. You can go watch it on their website. I mean, you can. It's so frustrating. I mean, imagine being a taxpayer out west or in the Midwest or in the Northeast or somewhere and seeing federal tax dollars by the hundreds of millions being sent to New Orleans to fix infrastructure, and none of it ever got fixed. And you're thinking, this is where my hardworking tax dollars go? We're sending them down to New Orleans, Louisiana to fix their water system. And after 20 years, hundreds of millions of dollars later, nothing has been fixed. Well, what have they been doing with that money?
David says, even Senator Kennedy asked for an audit on the federal funds given to SNA from Katrina. Many will go to prison.
It's incredible. And so anyways, after the president was hanging out over at the New Orleans Sewage and Water Board's Carrollton water plant that is falling apart, he then went to Lake Charles to speak. I think 12 people showed up in Lake Charles. And then he actually went to Lake Charles first, and then he came to New Orleans after he went to Lake Charles. So we'll see. But it's incredible when the head of the Sewage and Water Board says any day, any second, this all could end. It all could die. It could just all fall apart. I've never cherished my showers and my kitchen sink more.
Well, even knowing that, you would think the sewage and water board, if they felt like this can all go kaput at any second, they would give us some sort of contingency plans or some backup plans or some advisories in the event that this could happen. Like, hey, look, this can all go kaput at any moment, so here's what you do to prepare just in case that moment comes about. That's what I would like.
Well, if that's about to happen, they need to give us a few minutes because I want to run into my bathroom and use my toilet again because I'm going to need to. I want to get one last flush out of the deal.
Yeah, I recommend some water filtration systems that we can put in our sink or something. Let us know what's going to happen.
Boy, oh boy, but we have a lot to do on the show this morning. Hang out with us. Last night, I met for the first time, and I was on the panel of a show with Jefferson Parish Sheriff Joe LoPinto. Very impressive guy. I'll tell you a couple of stories from last night, hanging out with him and hanging out with the woman who ran against our tax cheat of a mayor, Lataxa Cantrell. Her name is Desiree Charbonnet. She was a judge. I asked her a few questions. Had a good time last night. Got a few fun stories from that. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. New research shows that olive oil is more effective than Viagra. Can you believe that? Those findings are based on a study of Popeye. On Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, it's the John Osterlund Morning Show.
You did it again. You hit that Billy Idol high note, ow, white wedding, then you went right back to your regular voice. Dude, you have a talent for that. It's amazing.
Nah, it's just Friday. Just.
Oh, you excited for the weekend?
Yes. Coleman, you're familiar with Jimmy Hoffa. You know the name Jimmy Hoffa, right?
Yeah, I've heard it a few times, a lot of times, movies, references.
Well, Jimmy Hoffa was the leader of the Teamsters. He was the Teamsters boss. He was like the big union guy, the head of the union, you know? Jimmy Hoffa was controversial, and he just disappeared one day, and he was never seen from, heard from again. As a matter of fact, there's a great movie about him. Jack Nicholson plays him. And I think the movie's called Hoffa. I think that's what it's called. And nobody knows what. They know he was killed, but they don't know exactly who did it or where his body ended up. And there's been all kinds of rumors over the years. He was supposed to have been buried underneath the old Meadowlands football stadium up in New Jersey where the Giants played. They knocked that down, and they built the new Meadowlands right next to where the old one was.
I heard it was under the Green Monster.
He's not under the Green Monster.
Fenway
Pack in Boston. He's not there. But when they knocked down the old Meadowlands football stadium to build the new one, they looked under the ground there. They didn't see him. The reason why I'm bringing it up is because I just read a story where an old mafia lawyer, an old mob lawyer, a guy who represented some of the old mafia guys, he says that Jimmy Hoffa is buried underneath a golf course in Georgia. A former defense attorney claims his one-time mob client helped bury Jimmy Hoffa under a hole at a Savannah, Georgia golf course. And that golf course was once popular with mafia bosses. Jimmy Hoffa disappeared in 1975. And it's been long presumed the reason why he disappeared was because of a mafia hit. The mob killed Jimmy Hoffa. though his body has never turned up. And you know, one thing about the mafia, at least back in the day, they went out of their way to make sure there wasn't much evidence left. They didn't want to leave evidence. You get caught. So a dead body is evidence.
Yeah, which makes me feel like this lawyer story is unlikely. If this golf course was popular among mob bosses, why would the mob bosses purposely bury the body where other mob bosses hang out with, unless they were trying to frame another mob boss? And we always have this, we just assume that he's buried somewhere. The body could have been cremated for all we know.
Well, Coleman, this lawyer, this lawyer, his name is Reginald Haupt Jr. H-A-U-P-T is how you spell his last name. He's the one, he swears, and he was a one-time criminal defense lawyer, and he represented a few mafia guys. He swears that Jimmy Hoffa wound up underneath the Savannah Inn and Golf Country Club, an exclusive resort on Wilmington Island, where members of the Chicago Mafia would vacation. Not only would they vacation there, when they went down there and played golf, some of them would urinate right on a specific spot on the golf course. And one time this lawyer was playing with his mob client, and he asked, why'd you pee on the golf course there? And he said, Jimmy Hoffa's buried underneath there. We buried him underneath.
Somebody's janking this guy's crank. The mafia wouldn't bury the body where other mob people hang out. They would bury that body as far away as that golf course as possible if they knew it could be traced back to that particular mob golf course.
Jimmy Hoffa had no ties to the state of Georgia.
True.
They just, that's as random a place as anywhere in America that they could bury him.
Well, Nine Ball says, the perfect place to hide a body where you always that nobody, well, he texted that weird, where nobody would look. But if you urinated on the spot and somebody get killed, and then the mob wouldn't even tell the guy that, I'm going to tell my lawyer, the mob lawyer, yeah, that's where Hava's body is.
Well, Coleman, after police have been down there and they've looked, wouldn't it be something if all of a sudden you turn on the news over the next few days and you see a story about how police are digging up part of a golf course in Savannah, Georgia, because they think Jimmy Hoffa's body is buried underneath that golf course?
Yeah, just look for the urine puddle, apparently.
Well, that's according to a lawyer who represented some mafia guys. He says one of those mafia guys told them that. And, hey, wouldn't it be something? I mean, this has been a mystery now. I mean, since 1975.
So if they do find the body and the lawyer's correct, does the lawyer get whacked for snitching?
I think the lawyer's so old now, it doesn't really matter. And the mafia today isn't like it was back then. It's nowhere near. There's still some mafia in the United States, but it's nothing, Coleman, like it was back in the day.
Yeah, they went digital now.
It's nothing. Nowhere near as big or powerful. All right, coming up on the show, last night I hung out with Jefferson Parish Sheriff Joe LaPinto and some other people as well. I got a few fun stories from last night. I want to tell you about that. And we got a lot more we got to get to on the show this morning. Warner Brothers movies, they're looking for a black Superman. I'm going to throw Coleman's name in the pot. Maybe if the new black Superman likes to drink a lot, Coleman, you might have a shot to be black Superman.
I'll audition.
Stay tuned for those reports and more coming up here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show, New Orleans' morning radio show. And last night, I was on the panel at a show called Politics with a Punch, a local New Orleans media guy named Jeff Currer. He's been putting this show on for years. And he's asked me to be on it a bunch of times, and I've done it several times. And last night, it was at Andrea's, a great restaurant in Metairie. And on the panel with me, and that's where he gets local people. He has five or six people on stage. And we talk about the issues that are in the news. And so I did it last night. And on the panel with me was Jefferson Parish Sheriff Joseph LaPinto. And I had never met Sheriff LaPinto before last night. And he was pretty funny, actually. When they introduced him, he walked onto the stage. He was wearing six face masks. He had six masks over his mouth and nose. He was having a little bit of fun with that. And what else is interesting, because it was at Andrea's in Metairie, there's no mask mandate. And as someone who lives in New Orleans, me, we still have the mask mandate. So in New Orleans, we can't go into any building without wearing a mask still, yet you drive 5 miles down the road to Andrea's, there was, outside of the six that were on Sheriff LaPinto's face, there wasn't one mask in sight.
How did you enjoy that freedom? Did you feel normal? Was it a culture shock? How did that hit you when you walked in and seen everybody just looking normal for a change?
Yeah, I mean, well, before the show started, we went into the bar at Andrea's. And we had a couple of Abitas.
You had a couple. I kind of went overboard, but whatever.
And standing in that bar, talking to people, nobody wearing a mask, drinking a beer, it was like culture shock. It was like how it used to be. It was like life how we used to know it. And, you know, I looked around and I told you and whoever else we were talking to, I said, I am never going to take a moment like this for granted again, because, you know, before coronavirus, living in New Orleans, I mean, just going out to a bar, enjoying a few wobbly pops, enjoying a few cold beers, watching live music. I mean, it was nothing. We did it all the time. It was, we never thought about it. And then when coronavirus happened, that all got taken away. And so for over a year, we couldn't do that. Now, all of a sudden, last night, I'm standing in a bar without a mask talking to people. And I said, my God, I am never going to take this for granted again. Things that we used to take for granted all the time, I'm never going to take that for granted again, Coleman.
Think about it. We were at a bar standing up. We didn't sit down. We stood up and nobody made us sit down. While we were standing up, drinking and talking, there was a band right there. She was singing into the microphone. I'm quite sure you would have been able to dance if you felt like it. There was a guy playing acoustic guitar. There was a woman singing out loud on a microphone. There were people just chilling and hanging out. Then we go to the event. People are sitting on the panel just eating and being normal. Just being normal for a change.
Yeah, last night was the most normal night that I've had in 13 months. It was wild. So anyways, I'm there, I'm on the stage, and they had a guy who imitated Dr. Anthony Fauci, who sat next to me. He was pretty funny.
Tim Ferguson.
And then sitting next to him was Sheriff Joseph LaPinto, the Jefferson Parish Sheriff. And then sitting next to him on the stage was Desiree Charbonnet, the former judge who ran for mayor of New Orleans and lost to our tax cheat of a mayor, Letaxa Cantrell. And what was funny about her, and she's attractive, by the way.
I've noticed.
But what was funny about her, she was saying something, and then when she paused for a minute, I grabbed my mic and I said, Desiree, excuse me, but could you please go back to being a judge and then make the mayor of New Orleans pay her federal income taxes? She owes the IRS over $100,000, her and her lawyer husband. She only paid them once in the last decade. She said, well, I wish I could, but that's a federal case, and I'm not a federal judge. I said, well, I'm making a federal case out of it now.
She handled herself pretty well. You know, I think at the beginning the crowd was kind of hard on her because of her political leanings, but she handled herself with grace, and by the time the event was over, she kind of won them over, saying, look, we all have our disagreements, but let's be honest about, let's get together about the things that unite us. And I think she made some great points.
Yeah, I like her. And then sitting next to her was our friend, New Orleans comedian, James Cusimano.
Coos.
He was funny.
He always is, though.
And then sitting next to Coos was the guy from Jamaica who immigrated here. He went to LSU. He was a track star. He made it to the Olympics as a decathlete, and he's an entrepreneur, he's a businessman, and he ran for Cedric Richmond's congressional seat here in New Orleans. He didn't win.
You endorsed him, though.
I did endorse him, but here in New Orleans, he's a black guy from Jamaica, but he's a conservative. So because he's politically conservative, that wouldn't give him much of a chance to win here in New Orleans, and that's why he didn't win.
Claxton is his name. Did you see how tall this guy was, this Olympian? Like, when he got on the stage, when he announced him, his ceiling. I was like, are you sure he's an Olympian, or is he a Greek god? That dude is a...
He's 6'4", and he weighs about 230.
Jeez, he was humongous. He was a big guy. And then he had to sit next to Coos with his dome, 5'7", out of shape ass.
So it was a fun panel, and everybody on the panel was cool. And you know, one issue that's going on in Baton Rouge right now in the legislative session is to decriminalize sex work. A female state rep from here in New Orleans, named Mandy Landry, had a bill to decriminalize sex work, basically legalize prostitution. 2 days ago, that got thrown out. They threw it out, they ripped it up, and then so that's not going to happen. And that kind of stinks. I think that's sexist.
Yeah, I remember when you said your point, the crowd didn't seem to get behind you that much.
They were no, like, the majority of the crowd was not for legalized prostitution. Yeah. And I said, look, you got two consenting adults. It's happening now anyways. That would probably clean up the streets. It would help women make money.
But they were older traditional crowd, though. They were older traditional.
Yeah, and older people do not like change. They just do not like change. But Joe LoPinto said that because before he was sheriff of Jefferson Parish, he was in the Louisiana state legislature. He was a state rep. He was a politician. So he said, you know, every year legalizing prostitution would come up. Somebody would have a bill, but it never really made it that far. This year, it made it a little bit farther than usual, but they threw out the bill 2 days ago. And I think that stinks. I really do. But then we talked about the legalization of marijuana.
Smoke weed every day.
And I asked Sheriff LoPinto how he felt about that. And he answered it in a very political way. And but basically he was saying, and I'm paraphrasing him here, but I mean, if it gets on the ballot and people vote for that, then fine. He doesn't look at small amounts of marijuana as a big deal. That was pretty cool coming from the sheriff of Jefferson Parish. And then I asked him, I looked right at him, I said, you're not going to frisk me on the way out, are you?
He was a wordsmith when he answered that question. He answered the question gracefully without giving his personal stance about the issue. He said, look, I'm just here to uphold the law. If the law says the marijuana is legal, cool. If the law says the marijuana is illegal, cool. I can make a case for both sides, but I'm just here to enforce the law, not make them. And that was a very political word. He worded it much better than I'm regurgitating it, but it was genius the way he put it together.
He's an impressive guy. That's the first time I ever met Jefferson Parish Sheriff Joe LoPinto. And then when the show was over and he stood up on the stage, I said to him, I said, hey, Sheriff, you know, I work with your your guy, the guy who had your job before you, the guy who campaigned for you to help make you Jefferson Parish Sheriff. I work with Newell Norman. He does a radio show at our sister station, the studio right next to us up here at WWL. And I said, I work with him. And he looked at me, he said, oh, that's a tough break for you. And he was just obviously kidding, but because those two guys get along very well. But yeah, I was impressed. I was impressed with him. And it was a good time. And we had a lot of laughs. And when they were talking about wearing masks, I brought up, you know, on my radio show, you know, we mask debate all the time. You know, we were mask debating the other morning. We mask debate 2 weeks ago, too. I mean, I see people in the street. We mask debate. We mask debate all the time.
Yeah, and you asked Dr. Fauci if he mask debate while you was on a panel. And I think some of the crowd didn't understand what you were saying. They were like, what?
But it was a good time last night, and I was impressed with Jefferson Parish Sheriff Joe LoPinto, and I'm impressed with the former judge, even though I might not agree with her on a lot of politics, Desiree Charbonnet, and I think she would have been a fine mayor. The city of New Orleans.
They were pressuring her to run this time since the mayor is going unopposed. Seemed like. But
yeah, it looks like Lataxa is going to run unopposed this fall, and who's gonna beat her?
Who knows? But here's my takeaway from the whole experience, and it's kind of sad to see this, but we've been living our normal lives up until 2020. In 2020, everything changed, and it was only for a year and a few months. But then when we're going slowly back to normal. Normal seems weird to us only after being conditioned for a year. Like you said, it was like a whole nother world. It was like a Twilight Zone. It was bizarre, but that's how it's supposed to be. What we experienced last night is how it's supposed to be, but the fact that we've only been doing this for like this coronavirus stuff for a year and a few months, and that seems like the norm now. We've gotten so used and conditioned to behaving this way and having our mask and social distancing that once we finally got a taste of what's supposed to be normal, it's a strange feeling. It's like we have to adapt back to how it's supposed to be. And that's what I didn't like about it, how it felt strange to do what we're supposed to do.
I never thought I'd be so excited to go to a bar, have a couple of beers, have some dinner, look around and hang out with a bunch of people, listen to some music. And
Did you feel guilty?
But before coronavirus, what we did last night, we did all the time and we never even thought twice about it. But after last night, I was like, wow. This is what life used to be like. This is fantastic. Good times. Hey, coming up on the show, Warner Brothers, they're making a movie with a black Superman. Coleman, would you like to be black Superman?
I would actually prefer Lex Luthor. I know I never told you this, but Lex Luthor is my favorite fictional character of all time. But depending on the money, I'll send an audition tape or something.
Maybe I can make a few phone calls, but if Black Superman in this upcoming Warner Brothers movie, if he likes alcohol a lot, then you really have a good chance. Stay tuned for that. Wait till you hear what this woman did at her ex-boyfriend's funeral. Wait till you hear that story coming up. Stay tuned for those reports and more. Still got the dumbest thing I read all morning. Got a lot to get to. Hang out with us. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. A man named Todd Robbins holds a world record for eating more than 4,000 light bulbs. Can you believe that? He says he's always been a light eater. On Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show.
You really are enjoying your Fridays. You did it again with the Bon Jovi. Man, you went with that Living on a Prayer back to the Welcome to Back to the Show. Like, you've been doing it all day.
Damn, I'm getting into the tunes this morning. It's Friday. Aren't you fired up? It's
I
Friday.
I am fired up.
So when the song's playing, I'm halfway there. Don't you get fired up?
Video camera hit it. They had Osterlund karaoke doing the breaks.
Nah, you don't want that. I saw this story and I couldn't believe it. Minnesota woman drives SUV through ex-boyfriend's burial service. Evidently, this woman, she's 28 years old. Her name is Blair Witten.
Blair Witch.
Blair Witten.
Oh, okay.
Witten. She was dating a guy. They broke up. The guy died.
Due to heartbreak?
Well, but the guy died, and his family set up a funeral. They told her not to go, but she went, and she drove her car right at people, right through the funeral service. A Minnesota woman who was told not to come to her ex-boyfriend's funeral was charged this week after witnesses said she drove through the cemetery and tried to run over mourners during the ceremony. 28-year-old Blair Witten was charged with reckless endangerment following the incident at the Riverside Cemetery in Fargo, North Dakota. Multiple complaints reported that Ms. Witten was driving her vehicle inside the cemetery in a manner with extreme indifference for human life, which created substantial risk of serious bodily injury to persons in the cemetery, according to a Fargo, North Dakota police spokesperson.
Interpretation, paying her final respects.
Well, luckily, Coleman, no one was injured. She didn't run anybody over. She didn't kill anybody. She didn't hurt anybody. But witnesses waved down police at the cemetery and said that an SUV was driving over grave sites and trying to run people over. Can you imagine that, driving through a cemetery?
Well, yeah.
And driving at people?
All right, okay, so she missed the people. She didn't run people over, but if she was running over grave sites, she was running over dead people. Because the dead people are in the ground, and she was running over the people, dead people.
Yeah. Well, good thing she didn't live down here and go to a cemetery down here with the people are buried above ground, and she'd be having head-on collisions. She wouldn't be able to.
Based on this woman's actions, I wouldn't be surprised that if she was also the cause of death for the ex-boyfriend.
Well, somebody said that she was not wanted at the funeral ceremony because she had made negative posts on social media about her ex-boyfriend's death. So that's why the ex-boyfriend's family didn't want her at the funeral, because she was on Facebook or Twitter or TikTok or whatever she was on, Snapchat, Instagram. She was on some social media, and she was making negative posts about her ex-boyfriend's death.
Huh. So now it makes me wonder, if she felt negatively towards her ex-boyfriend, why would she want to go to the funeral in the first place?
Well,
trying to justify the actions of a clearly an insane woman, so maybe I'm dumb for even asking that. Like, if she's crazy enough to run through a cemetery and a funeral, clearly she's not thinking like the rest of the normal humanity.
So when someone saw her there in her SUV at the funeral, they walked over to her SUV while she was sitting behind the driver wheel, steering wheel. And he asked her to leave. And when he asked her to leave, she accelerated towards him, forcing him to jump out of the vehicle's path. Police detained her on the north side of the cemetery. She told officers that she had shown up for the funeral and was sitting in her SUV when people who she believed would hurt her approached her. She said she drove away and was careful not to hit anything. But the problem is she almost ran over a bunch of people. So her story was a little bit different than the other people at the funeral story.
Once again, her story doesn't make sense. Why would you show up to a funeral that you were told you weren't welcome, and then you thought you were putting yourself in harm? Like, I thought they were going to hurt me. Then why show up? They told you not to come.
I'm looking at her mugshot. She's got a tattoo in the middle of her throat. She's not bad looking. Get this up on our website, bayou957.com. She's not, but who would get a fairly large tattoo right over your Adam's apple? Well, women don't have Adam's apples. But right there where the Adam's apple would be, that's where she got a good-sized tattoo there.
Well, I guess the person that would get a tattoo is also the same person that would drive through cemeteries after putting negative posts about your ex-boyfriend after his death. She's not playing with a full deck here, John.
No, I just, some story, like things weren't rough enough for the poor guy. I mean, the guy died young. I don't know how
he probably was trying to escape the girl.
I don't know.
I thought that death is the best option. I need to get away from this chick.
I don't know how he died, but like if things weren't bad enough for his family and his friends, we got to go bury this guy well before his time, well before he should have been buried. Now I got his crazy ex-girlfriend in her SUV driving around the funeral, driving around the cemetery. We got to dive out of the way, jump behind headstones.
And he's looking down from heaven like, yep, that's why I left, because of that reason right there.
Coming up on the show, did you see, I guess China, Communist China fired off a rocket. It's in space and it's on its way back down and it could land in the United States. It could hit somebody in the United States. As if China hasn't done enough already to our country. Stay tuned for that and more coming up on the show here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Quick reminder, if you only listen for a little while, like if you've only been checking out the show around now because you're driving to work or whatever the case may be, We've had a lot of fun this morning. We talked about a lot of different things. We do every morning. But we have the podcast up. As soon as our show's over, the podcast of our show goes up on our website, bayou957.com. Check it out when you get a chance. We talk about all kinds of different stuff. And if you're just joining us now, boy, you missed some stuff that we think that you would like earlier. So that's why the podcast is there. As soon as the show's over, it's up on our website at bayou957.com. Check it out. So did you see where there's a Chinese rocket that they shot off over there in Communist China? And it's up in space, up in the sky. And they say it's coming back down towards Earth and it could land somewhere in the United States. It's an out-of-control Chinese rocket. It's roughly 100 feet long, and it would be among the biggest space debris ever to fall to Earth.
You think China's overcompensating for something?
Well, I don't know, but as if China hasn't done enough already to our country. And by the way, that out-of-control Chinese rocket that is hurling towards Earth, scientists say it's impossible to predict exactly when and where it will hit. But if you see it coming, you should get out of the way.
I find that hard to believe.
That's what the experts are saying right now.
I find that. So you mean to tell me we can track the trajectory of every planetary body or spatial body around us. We can tell you how far a meteor is going to pass the Earth, or how far an asteroid is going to pass the Earth in trajectory of it. They can calculate all this stuff. You mean to tell me with 2021 technology and all the GPS and satellites and orbital systems and gravitational equations, they can't figure out where this man-made rocket, probably with a tracker on it, is going to fall? Like, they can't figure that out?
Not exactly.
Hmm.
The Pentagon reportedly says it has no plans to shoot down a China-launched rocket that is descending toward Earth. Apparently out of control and with no clear indication as to where it might impact. Our defense secretary, his name is Lloyd Austin, he said, quote, "We have the capability to do a lot of things, but we don't have a plan to shoot it down as we speak."
Once again, let's say they did decide to shoot it down. If they don't know where it's going to land because they can't figure out it's out of control equations, then how could you successfully track it and shoot it down if you tried? Meaning that if they could target it, then it can project its trajectory and figure out where it's going to land. It shouldn't be that difficult. But I'm not a rocket scientist.
It's a long Mach 5B rocket. And it carried the main module of Tianhe, or Heavenly Harmony, into orbit on April 29th. That's when it went up there. China plans 10 more launches to carry additional parts of the space station into orbit. The roughly 100-foot-long stage would be among the biggest space debris to ever fall to Earth.
You know, North Korea has been trying to figure out how to shoot a rocket from North Korea to the United States. I think China just gave them the secret. Just throw it up in space and cross your fingers and hope for the best.
Coleman, the Pentagon said when the rocket, where the rocket will hit, quote, cannot be pinpointed until within hours of its reentry. That's what the Pentagon said.
Dramatic.
Yeah. So at least we'll have a couple hours. You know, they'll say, hey, look, I know it's a small state, but it's heading towards Rhode Island. You know, if you live in Rhode Island, get the hell out.
But it is headed for America. That's what they're saying.
It could be.
It could be.
We'll know pretty soon, because they're going to, if all of a sudden breaking news comes and they say, hey, we just found out a couple of hours that this Chinese rocket is it. But once they know that, then they'll be able to shoot it down.
I wonder if they can pinpoint where the rocket goes, and if I go over there, if I put like my leg or my foot in its path and it hits me, can I sue China for injuring me? Get some money out of the deal.
Our Pentagon hopes that the rocket will land in the ocean. And it's supposed to come down sometime this weekend. So if you're enjoying your weekend, keep your heads up.
You know what's going to happen, right? If it does land in the ocean and it lands in American seas, we're going to go confiscate that rocket and reverse engineer and try to figure out all of China's secrets. And then we're going to find out that all of China's secrets are just reappropriated American patents.
Damn. But as if communist China hasn't made our lives over here a living hell for the last, 15 months? 14 months with the coronavirus. Now this.
And if it does strike in the United States, are we going to hold China accountable? Are we going to say, hey, you damaged some of our property, pay up, or at least take a little bit off of our debt, something like that?
Yeah. Yeah, you know all that money we owe you? Or maybe we'll just say, why don't you fill our store shelves with more of that cheap Chinese crap that people buy in all of our stores? And I saw this story. I wanted to bring this up real quick. I thought this was very interesting as well. Endangered condors trash the home of a California woman. A California woman's home has reportedly been invaded by a flock of endangered California condors. Coleman, these birds are on the endangered species list. There's not that many of them left. As a matter of fact, these birds have been tagged.
Hmm.
And
this woman's daughter is tweeting from her mother's house in a series of tweets that have since gone viral. The woman's daughter said her mother's deck has been absolutely trashed by 15 of these endangered species. She tweeted, over the weekend, 15 California condors descended on my mother's house and absolutely trashed her deck. They still haven't left. It sucks, but also this is unheard of. There are only 160 of these birds flying free in the state, and a flock of them decided to start a war with my mother.
Hmm.
And she posted photos attached to her tweet. And you can see the condors. They're perched on the railing of the back deck, right by the grill, some tables and chairs. And you could see that the condors have been tagged with numbers that correspond with birds released in Southern California's Kern County. So there's literally only like 160 of these things left. They're endangered. And about 15 of them have been trashing this woman's back deck in her yard in California.
I understand that these birds are endangered species. However, I take my property very seriously. I work hard for my property. I mean, if 15 condors, endangered or not, decided to trash my home, there would be 145 after I'm through with them. They might be on an endangered species list and transfer them to the extinction list. I understand it's a crime to harm endangered species, but it will be my word against the condor's word.
I wonder if they're a tasty bird. You know, because lots of birds are delicious to eat. I wonder if these endangered species, I wonder if the condors...
Well, there's a way we can figure it out. We can go to California right now by this woman's house. Clearly, she already has the grill ready to go, and they already got the grill. There's 15 of them, so they can lose about one or two. I get that they're endangered. However, I got bills to pay, man. You can't be trashing my house like that.
How about that? What would you do if you're listening right now if endangered species invaded your yard and went to the bathroom all over your back deck and were hanging out on the back deck? I mean, it'd be cool if they would do sex with each other because then they wouldn't be so endangered.
On my porch, not on my property. Go do sex somewhere else.
Yeah, if you're listening, what would you do if endangered species invaded your yard? I mean, it's pretty cool, but at the same time, they're making this woman's life a living hell out in California. The endangered species California condors all over her property and her back deck. Text us. What would you do? You heard what Coleman would do. I'd try to get them to do sex because I don't want any endangered species to disappear forever.
Who's going to pay for your damages after they do all the sex? You're allowing them to lay your eggs all on your porch?
Condor sex, Coleman. Whatever they need to do.
So
they don't disappear from the earth forever.
So you'll sacrifice your property with all the bird poop and everything just so you can save a species. That's pretty.
I could live with a little bird poop to save a species, Coleman. What would you do if you're listening right now? Text us. You got endangered species. These birds, they're flocking to this one house and they're making this woman's life hell. What would you do if you were in that situation? Our number is 504-260-9595. Please do not text while you're driving. Keep your text short. Put either your first name or a nickname or initials or something if you want a little credit after your text. And if it's good, we'll read it coming up next on the show. Still got the dumbest thing I read all morning. Wait till you hear what some people are doing nowadays to get high. Wait till you hear this new trend. That's coming up. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. We were talking about this woman's house in California where 15 endangered species have been hanging out. The endangered species is the California condor. They're birds. And there's not that many left. As a matter of fact, there's only about 160 left. but 15 of them have showed up at this woman's home in California. They're hanging out on her back deck. They're bird pooping all over the place. They're making her life hell. And these birds have been tagged. They have tags on them because they're endangered species. And I asked you to text us, what would you do if that was your house? Coleman said he'd shoot them. I'd said I'd try to entice them to do sex with each other because I don't want the endangered species to disappear forever. I want them to multiply. And then so I'd try to get them to do condor sex. We asked you to text. What would you do if this happened to you?
Sharky says, with all respect, I wouldn't advertise killing a protected species. Call wildlife and fisheries and have them tranquilized and relocated. Bottom line, we must coexist. Find solutions besides resorting to killing them. However, the big KG says, put a cap in some condor ass. Erica says, I've been dealing with this for years with Canadian geese. They've destroyed our backyard and we can't touch them because they're protected. So we stocked up on Roman candles and bottle rockets to try to scare them off. It doesn't work though. Felicia says, I'd run outside with the blanket over me and look big and screech as loud as I can and scare them away. Lou says, I put on some Barry White and throw bird seeds in a circle.
Yeah, see, that's how I'm thinking like you.
This text says, hit them with a pressure washer. This text says, try to get them to do sex. Properly set the mood. Crack open a nice Merlot and put out a board of cheese and Marvin Gaye. It's always a nice touch. And to wrap it up, AJ says, there's condor yakamine, condor feathered pillows, deep fried Thanksgiving condor, and all bunch of condor recommendations.
How about that? We'll see what they do out there in California to hopefully save that species.
I don't mind saving the species, but I like my property better than a species.
Plus, I don't know how condors taste. I've never had a condor before.
There's a way we can figure it out.
Does it taste like chicken? Hey, coming up next, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning, and we've already put the story and the disgusting video that goes with it on our website at bayou957.com if you don't want to wait. But that's coming up next. It's a new trend in getting high. Wait till you hear this. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. John Osterlin hanging. Over with you and Coleman. And it's that time of our show where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. There's a bizarre new trend out there to eat raw, rotten meat because it'll get you high. Yeah. But the problem is it can cause explosive incontinence.
Explosive incontinence?
Yes. And it could be very bad for you, too. You know, during the coronavirus pandemic, Coleman, a lot of people were bored. Locked down. So they're on the internet and they're on social media and they see these different challenges. And one of the challenges that a bunch of people were doing, eating chunks of rotten raw meat to get high. And it messed them up. I mean, how gross is that?
I'm at a loss for words because I'm just visualizing and I'm disgusted. It sounds awful. Why can't they just stick to the usual stuff? Why are people trying to find new ways to get high? Doesn't the regular stuff still work?
Well, maybe these people, they were during lockdown, they didn't have any weed or they didn't have any booze. I don't know. And so this challenge started up. I mean, these challenges are crazy. We've seen all kinds of different challenges. People licking toilet bowls. People sticking metal objects in electrical wall sockets. And now people are eating rotten, raw meat to get high. And some are saying, boy, it works.
That's not a high you're experiencing. That's probably some kind of health risk that you're facing.
I wonder if the high
is as good, better, or worse than the explosive incontinence. I wonder if the high is worth it. There is a doctor who said that people should not be doing this.
Oh, you don't say. You needed a doctor to come out and say, hey, you probably shouldn't eat raw, uncooked meat.
Not just raw, uncooked, Coleman. Rotten. I mean, it's got the pictures I'm looking at. It has the meat has things has mold and other fungi, whatever that is, growing on it.
So it's like magic mushrooms, just not magical. It's grossical.
The doctor, Dr. Sarah Jarvis, said, quote, at worst, it can cause serious illness, severe stomach pain, vomiting, diarrhea, and dehydration. While fans may talk about...
Well, she didn't say death.
Nobody...
She said at worst, it can cause illness.
But I've never... I mean, I've seen some crazy things done in an attempt to get high, but I've never seen this. I've never seen people take rotten raw meat. It's not just raw meat. I know people who eat raw meat. It's got to be rotten and raw. There has to be crap growing on it.
Ugh.
And then evidently it gets you really high.
I'll just stick to my alcohol. Thank you.
Well, I've got the story, and it's on our website, bayou957.com. And anyways, this bizarre new trend to eat rotten raw meat to get high, and that can cause explosive incontinence. That's the dumbest thing I read all morning.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
On Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.